Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 18th, 2011, episode 209, sponsored today by HorseShow.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Good morning.
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Good morning, everybody. What is it? August 18th. So we are over halfway through August. That is exciting news when you live in Phoenix, Arizona, my friends. Are you dreading the end of the summer or excited about it?
Yes, that's not so exciting news for us. That means summer's almost over and we go to cold and snowy and icy again.
Oh, but just think, September in Lexington, Kentucky is one of the most beautiful months of the year, and September here is still summer. So it's not really that exciting. But, you know, I did realize, too, that you know you're getting older when all you talk about is the weather. So let's find something else to talk about.
How about we go to Jennifer and let her talk?
Yeah, thank you.
On today's HorseShow.com Thursday edition, it's a mystery to me what's going on. That's because today we will be playing Stump the Host, and it appears that Jamie and I are this week's victims, so stay tuned for that hilarity. After that, we have news from 2008 with a little look back at Horse Radio Network's very first episode. It's kind of like home movies from our childhood, and we will find out if Glenn sounds younger. And to round out our Thursday, we'll have some awesome horse news headlines from 2011, sure to tickle your funny bone, so stay tuned.
So it's kind of weird listening back to edit that little piece for that we're going to play a little later of the first show of the Horse Radio Network, because I have the most annoying laugh.
What? I think your laugh is awesome. It's contagious. But was it annoying then? Did you develop a better laugh?
No, I think it's always been annoying, and I just noticed it when I was listening to that for some reason. Hey, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was either. I don't think you're going to even be able to pick on it.
So there's no chance. Now, I know that you and I look at things different. When you listen to yourself, you go, wow, that's pretty good, you know, and you're like a glasses half full kind of person. I listen to myself back, and I am a glasses half full. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm terrible. I can't believe I even do this for a living. This is horrible. Oh, I'm just the worst. So I'm interested to see how it actually sounds, and I'll be unbiased. But you said it was really good. You said
you think it was
really funny.
Well, the title of the episode was Poop Eating Worms and Other Olympic News, and the piece I cut out was really the first 12 minutes of the show, which is all about the poop eating worms and the other Olympic news. So, I had forgotten that our first guest was our friend from Regarding Horses, Jackie Baker. She actually was our first guest ever. So but I don't have that. You have to go back and listen to the whole episode for that. But, it was fun. It was fun actually listening back and hearing it, and it was kind of enjoyable.
No, you did not say it was fun. You told me before the show that it was funny, and it was really good. And I'm not going to be able to make fun of you, and I highly doubt that.
But you will always find a way to make fun of me, I'm sure, Jamie. I don't think that's ever, ever an issue. Well, let's get to our daily winnings. Well, so I go to do my daily Winnie, and Jennifer's typing in our little chat room, I seem to be missing a fish. Right before I go to do the daily Winnie, I get, I seem to be missing a fish. Because she has a fish tank in her office, and there's three big goldfish in there. And apparently now there's only two?
I can only spot two goldfish. So either the goldfish that are left look fatter or the cat looks fatter. I'm going to have to weigh them and see.
Okay. All right, my daily Winnie is thank you to everybody for all the birthday wishes yesterday. That was very nice because the three-year anniversary of the Horse Radio Network. I got emails, and we have a lot of postings on Facebook and Twitter. We had some postings on Twitter, and I just wanted to thank everybody for that. You know what? It's been a fun ride, and I can't think of a better job in the world. And also, on that note, related to that, 1 month till vacation. I only got 30 days, so I don't have to do this for a week.
That was, I didn't understand a word you just said because it was so high-pitched. But I'm assuming it had something to do with your vacation.
Yeah, it's only 1 month to vacation. 1 month.
Okay.
1 month of vacation.
Good to know. Okay, good to know.
Thought I'd just say it. And it's your turn, right?
Yeah, hit it. Now, you talk about me making fun of you. You can totally make fun of me for this one. I don't know why, but this video was posted, I think it was on Eventing Nation last night, and I was reading it, and I hit the video player, and Chad was with me. We were still doing house paperwork for the potential new place, and I'm in a little bit of an emotional state, and I had also had a glass of red wine. So I'm sitting down, and I played this video. And it's, you know, I love the cute little animal videos. Well, this is the Budweiser commercial with the little donkey who wants to become a Clydesdale. I don't know what happened. I started crying uncontrollably after this commercial. I don't know what happened. I just watched it, and I was emotionally moved by this ad and started, I wasn't sobbing, but the tears were streaming out of my face to the point where my husband actually pointed at me and started laughing. And he's like, that's why I love you, because you're a disaster. So I want to post this online right now.
Haven't you ever seen that commercial before?
Yes. I don't know what came over me. I don't know. The little donkey was trying to be a Clydesdale, and then he worked so hard, and he was practicing and driving, and it was just very moving. And he worked hard, and he achieved his goal. So post that online. I want to know.
You
did
are
anybody
a mess.
Else cry? I know. Working.
How does he live with you? You're just an emotional mess.
He loves it. He loves it. He loves to laugh at me because he's such a fighter pilot. He never cries. Like, nothing really ruffles his feathers at all. So I'm the doubly that. I have his and my emotions in here.
My God, girl.
Yeah. I don't know. Just take a look. I want to know, bring anybody else to tears? Actually, you probably don't answer that because you're all going to say no and make me feel stupid, too.
Wait, maybe you had just gotten back for four days with me. Was that why you were crying uncontrollably?
I have been teetering on the edge of emotion because of that, yes. No. No. All right, I got another Daily Winnie that's a little more serious. Okay, so we all know that I have been horse shopping for a client of mine. She's just looking for a nice, dead-broke trail horse / lower-level dressage horse, but she really wants a warm blood. So I found this ad, and it says, Hanoverian, born in 2003. This is on Dream Horse. He's got a temperament of a 2, so he's really calm. And then they say, Schneider is a superb 16-2 hand, ultimate all-arounder, extravagant forward-going paces, lovely athletic jump, kind temperament, perfect for small adults or teenagers. He can jump anything. He's trained in dressage, blah, blah, blah. Get to clips, shoes, shows, other horses, traffic. He doesn't care. He's up to date on everything. He's fantastic. He's worth his weight in gold, they say. Suitable loving home, more important than price. The asking price for this perfect Hanoverian gelding, $1,800. So you're like, what?
Ding, 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 ding.
If it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. So I see this ad. I'm like, okay, that doesn't look right. So I Google. I just put the scam into. I put Hanoverian, Schneider, $1,800, and all this stuff comes up. Here's what happens. If you reply to this ad, the lady is going to send you an email about how fantastic this horse is and how wonderful he is, and you should totally get him because he's just an angel. There's the catch, though, is that the problem is that her daughter owns the horse, and her daughter's over in England right now or some country, and she has the horse. Well, she doesn't want to leave the horse behind, but she's a doctor, and she's working 12 hours a day. And so they really need to get the horse out of Europe, and they just want to send it back to America. So the $1,800 is for you to pay the freight or shipping from the horse from England to here. Now, as you know, we've talked to plenty of eventers that have gone overseas, and it's about $10,000 to ship a horse, but they seem to skip over that. It's $1,800 to get your perfect horse, Schneider, on over here to the U.S. Now, me, I would say, first of all, I don't care how much the horse costs. I'm not buying a horse sight unseen. You know, and they'll send you video, they'll send you pictures. This scam was listed online, and so many people were typing about what this scam did to them and how they lost their money. So
you mean people actually did it?
Oh my gosh, Glenn, yes, tons of people did it, and it just makes me so upset that people would fall for this. A and the B that there's people out there doing this. So you send them $1,800. For the horse. And, you know, you've got all these videos, all these pictures. You're excited about getting this new perfect warm-blood Schneider. And then there's trouble. The people from the Border Patrol or Border Crossing or something like that will then call you and say that you have to pay more money to them because, unfortunately, the taxes on shipping the horse over were not paid. So you either make the choice to send them the money, also to then potentially allow your horse to continue on its journey, or as some people did, they just kind of said no. I don't know how much the taxes were. People didn't write that down. So as a note to our listeners, if it is too good to be true, it is too good to be true. It will never happen. Do not fall for this monster-like total scam. And I tried to flag the ad on Dream Horse, but apparently you have to be some member and do all this stuff, so I wasn't able to flag it. But here's a tip. With all the horse shopping that we've done, Glenn, the horse that you're looking for, when it says it's this amazing horse and it's this low price, I want you to take the title and maybe the ad and copy and paste it just into Google. And what will happen is it will come up on like 50 different websites or on Craigslist in 50 different cities. It will be like a really popular ad, and then you also know it's a scam. I mean, if it's listed on Sport Horse for Sale and Dream Horse and Craigslist, then I wouldn't be too worried. But like this ad came up in all over the place. I mean, in like 20 different horse seller things.
Do you think if Dream Horse would know about, and we're picking on Dream Horse here a little bit because that's where you found it, but you think that they would know about this and just be flagging it when it pops up?
You would think so. And I tried to flag it, but you have to be some sort of member, and I didn't really.
Yeah, but I mean, the Dream Horse people themselves keep an eye on these ads. They're keeping an eye that they make sure there's no vulgarity and, you know, their porn stars aren't posting themselves. So they are keeping an eye. They can flag this stuff.
Okay, so let's get the Dream Horse people on, and let's talk to them about that.
Well,
I think that's
a good idea, Jennifer. Why don't you contact them today, Jennifer, and we'll see if we can get them on about this. By the way, very good tip, and Jennifer, you probably should put it on Horse Tip Daily. Just take this section right out and put it on Horse Tip Daily, because that was a very good tip. And I didn't think about taking the title and everything and posting it into Google, so that's a wonderful tip, Jamie.
Yeah. Yeah, and generally speaking, anytime you see a classified ad that involves paying for shipping like that right there is a huge red flag. And a friend of ours down here The people actually offered to pay for the horse, sight unseen, and pay for the shipping, and pay for it by, what are those little things? You go to the bank and you get the little money orders? And she was going to take it. She's going, well, heck, money order can't get better than that. And then she called her bank up and found out that you can get a stolen money order. The money will go into your account, but then 15 days later, they take it back because then they don't find out it's a fake money order until after it's gone through the banking system. So there's every way in the world to scam for bucks. So, folks, buyer beware.
Yeah, absolutely. And the website that I found all this on was called scaminformer.com, and they've got a lot of scams on here. But it was just the mother. Okay, so I just looked it up again, and here's the more details. The mother's name is Tiffany Orleans. You'd think they would switch it up after a while, but it's still the same horse name, the same people. And Christy took the horse to London while going to med school. That's what it was. And then all of a sudden, they're going through the Charles de Gaulle Airport in France, and it just won't. They need travel insurance. You have to send more money, and blah blah blah. So please don't fall for this. There's no horse that can be shipped overseas for $1,800. And it's just the small enough amount where you would be like, well, it's only $1,800. I'll give it a try because this horse just sounds so perfect. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Now, what was the name of that site again?
Scaminformer.com.
Okay.
And they have just a bunch of different scams on there that you can look at.
Well, there is the ultimate and really bad ads, huh?
No kidding, but we do still want your really bad ads. Go ahead, tell everybody about that.
Yeah, so tomorrow we need some really bad ads. We forgot to ask you for them earlier in the week because we were kind of busy this week, but we'll be doing really bad ads tomorrow, and they will not be hopefully scammy really bad ads, just crappy really bad ads. So we want you to look through Craigslist, look through Dream Horse, find those ads that are just like, what? Or they're misspellings, or they're just all one. Somebody's got to send in the one that's 12 sentences long without any punctuation, because Jamie needs one of those a week just to make her weekend happy. So send that one in. Send in the big pictures, the really bad picture of the week. And this week, the winner of the really bad ads gets a Redmond Rock gift pack. And we had an opportunity, if you listened to the show earlier in the week, to speak to Mike from Redmond Rocks, and the Redmond Rock gift pack is kind of nice, and includes their wonderful mineral rocks that the horses absolutely love. You heard Jamie asking Mike because her horse would not stop licking it. She was afraid his tongue was going to fall off, and we found out that probably won't happen, but maybe some granulized Redmond Rocks would be a better plan there, and they send you a little bit of the...
He scolded me that apparently one of my horses is deficient in some vitamins.
Well, the nice thing about the Redmond Rocks is they have 60 vitamins right within the Redmond Rock. And, you know, Jennifer and I, they take these rocks and they crush them up and they make a human salt out of them. They just crush them up and put them in a jar or in a little salt shaker. And that's what we use for salt now. We had corn on the cob last night, by the way, which was the best corn on the cob we've had all year. And we used our Redmond Rock salt, you know. It's good stuff, and it has all the minerals that are good for people, too. So they're going to send you a little bit of everything of that if you are the winner for Really Bad Ad. So get your Really Bad Ad in today. Send it to Jennifer@HorseRadioNetwork.com with Really Bad Ads in the subject line. And that'll happen on tomorrow's show. I am so excited today, Jamie, because I have a – We're playing Stump the Host, and this time you and Jennifer are both playing because you had such a hard time last time. I thought maybe you should have some help this time. So,
well, and that's the problem, is that when you're talking to an English guy who's known for being an announcer and he uses a non-English voice that is in a different tone, it's going to be a little difficult. And, of course, I would know Nigel if he breathed into the phone typically, but when he's like, no... Yes. I was like,
well,
I have no idea who this is.
Well, let's just say that this particular person that's coming on today has been coached by me.
So you
might expect some surprises there, too. But then I saw, you know, did I see you guys post, and I didn't even read this, so you're just going to have to explain it to me. Something about a foal contest and voting and stuff.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. This is the cutest thing ever. We posted it on Facebook, or Jennifer did yesterday. Let's post the link. It's WinStarFarm.com. And Winstar
right down the street
is
from our house.
Exactly. It's a huge, beautiful thoroughbred facility. And they have a horse that stands there named Colonel John. Probably recognize Colonel John. I believe he was in the Derby a couple years ago. Anyway, so Colonel John has had several foals this year, and they have taken pictures of Colonel John's foals. 32 top recruits, they're calling it. And there are some stinking cute baby pictures on this thing. So it's winstarfarm.com/Colonel John Recruits. And you basically go on and you vote for your favorite Colonel John foal, and he does definitely throw some bays. Because I think about every one of these foals is bay. And you just get to click on the ones that you like the best. Now, as Jennifer was thinking that we would win something, we don't win anything because we're voting. But the owner of these foals receives a free breeding next year. It's back to the same horse. And I'm sorry. I don't know these people. I don't care about these people. I just like looking at the cute baby pictures. So do you have that link? In hand,
yes.
Glenn.
Jennifer,
I'm putting it up as we speak.
Okay.
Awesome.
The recruits.
It's the first recruits
content.
I think it would be fun if people posted on our Facebook page which one was their favorite. And it seems to be that they just have numbers. So if you'll post which number was your favorite, which was your favorite, Jamie? What'd you pick?
I must say, I liked several of them. I liked number 10 because he is in a flat-out gallop. He is just running his little heart out. I also liked number 14 because he looks like he's really underneath himself, and it looks like in this picture he's approaching a cross-country fence. Clearly, I don't pick him for Thoroughbred World. And then I also liked number 28 because he looks statuesque, and he's got a good shoulder for jumping. So I really liked that one. But I think my stinking cute favorite, just for the emotional aspect of it, is number 1. Oh,
me too!
He's so cute, and he's tiny, and he's got these big muscles, and his legs are just baby legs, and it looks like he's the youngest one on the entire thing. Maybe him and number 9 are the youngest. But he's just well-muscled, and he's just a good-looking baby, and he's put together nicely. So I would like to say number 1 is my favorite, and number 28 will be my event horse.
I love number 1. I think you're absolutely right. That's the cutest darn thing with the little black legs, little black feet, and he's very short coupled, that little guy.
Good jumper.
Yeah, yeah. Now the other one I picked was number 15 for his face. He's the greatest face. I like number 15 too. It's a wonderful face. Not for the body,
he's
just for the
elegant.
Face.
Yeah,
kind of
he's
regal.
A little high behind, but he looks like he's almost a yearling. I mean, he looks like one of the older ones.
Yeah,
can you imagine how hard it was to get these pictures?
Those little babies. I like the one of the foal jumping over the dog, the Jack Russell. You like that one?
That was Jennifer's, definitely.
How'd you know?
Was Jennifer's favorite. Because you posted it on Facebook yesterday. Sorry, I just knew that would be, though. Numbers, like you said about number 17, it's like he was so fuzzy. He must be up in the north somewhere because they had to clip him. He was so darn fuzzy.
Yeah, and he's a little guy, too. He's probably 6 months. So, well, these are fun. This is fun. So everybody post what your favorite number was. Now you heard what ours was. You have to go check it out, and I voted. I did my vote for number 1. I think number 1's going to win this hands down, to be honest with you.
I would think so. I mean, I would hope so, because it's just so cute. Oh,
and you know what?
On.
This is really cool that we have a breeding farm in the thoroughbred world that's getting into new media and really getting people involved. That's, you know, we've always talked about we need more of that in the racing world. Well, here is WinStar really trying to do that, and, you know, good for them.
Oh, I think it's awesome. And what's funny is if you click on the pictures, Glenn, you can actually go on and read people's comments. You can comment about each individual horse. And most of the comments on this one are like, man, look at that shoulder. Look at that hip. He's got it all. Number 1 is the best. So I don't know if I need the other ones. I haven't looked at their comments yet.
Well, now, they also have something called WinStar, like a big commercial for WinStar here, WinStar StableMates. And you'll find a link to it if you go to winstarfarm.com. There's a link to the StableMates. It's a special website that you can become a member of, and it gives you FarmCam, and it's free. It gives you FarmCam access to Colonel John camera and one of the other farm cameras, so you can actually see what's going on over at WinStar Farm. And it also gives you access to the information from the Stallion Barn, the Broodmare Barn. It talks about the races coming up. It has games and contests and their calendars on there. It's a very interactive site that WinStar has put together. It's kind of neat what they did there. So
this is cool. What a great website, winstarfarm.com, WINSTAR farm.com. You're right, and they've got, like, WinStar in the news, and they got the recruits. Click on this, and they've got a scrolling video on the winners. This is awesome. What a great site. I hope that more thoroughbred places get like this.
Yeah, and you notice how the barn doors open up when you go into the site. That was kind of cool. That just comes from a web designer point of view there. No, they are doing a great job over there. You know, I should contact them. They had expressed an interest in actually having us come over and do the morning show live from there someday. So, and talk about a beautiful place. WinStar is one of the most beautiful farms you are going to see anywhere. It is.
You're flying me in for that one. I'm coming in for that one.
I'll have to arrange it next time you're in for something here in Lexington. We'll have to do that because that would be a lot of fun. And it looks like the early votes are in, and Samiko says she likes too many of them. Number one is adorable. Number 11 is showing some early aptitude for jumping, so that was one of the Jennifer likes. And then number one, another vote by Laura for number one. So there you go. So the early votes are coming in, and we would love you to keep voting over there as well. Hey, before we get to our Stump the Host segment, which I'm going to have to actually do the calling because Jennifer can't call the guests because she's playing. I'll have to do that in a minute. I wanted to tell everybody that there's, just take a second, that there is a new application for your Android phone. So if you have an Android phone, it's called Horse Show Checklist. And I spent 99 cents today for the benefit of the listeners so I could check this out and make sure it was okay. And it really is a checklist of everything you need that when you're heading out to a horse show. It makes it easy to organize everything. It's a very simple application, costs 99 cents. You just search for Horse Show Checklist on your Android marketplace. And what it does is it gives you a list broken down into sections, like grooming and horse and rider, and it gives you all of these items that you have to remember to bring along. First aid kit, it really has everything in there, trailer, stall overnight if you're staying, what you need, your buckets and your snaps and all that stuff. And what you do, this is a simple application, everything's in red, all listed out. You just hit the item as you pack it or you're sure it's packed, it turns green. So when you see you have all your items green, you know you packed everything for the horse show and off you go. When you come back and want for your next horse show, you just hit the clear button, it makes them all red again, and you just start hitting the buttons again. It's a pretty cool little application, I got to say. So that you can just find by searching for Horse Show Checklist. And I don't know if they have it on the iPhone. You'll have to check, Jamie. But I do know it's on the Android marketplace for the Android phones.
Usually if it's on the Android, it's on the iPhone. But I got to ask, how is this set up for? Is it just one Horse Show Checklist? Or
it's
is
one
it set
big...
up because like, eventers have a lot of stuff that hunter jumpers don't take and vice versa.
This is a pretty generic list, but I have to say I looked through it pretty carefully, and it had almost everything on there that I think you would need for any general horse show. And it says, you know, whether you're a dressage rider, hunter jumper, or eventer, it'll make your life easier. And I could see that. I can see that. I think that, you know, I think that there's probably some things that, you're right, eventers use that may not be on there. But I think as a basic checklist, it's pretty good.
Cool.
And, you know, Jennifer, I don't know how you are. I don't know how you are, but Jennifer used to have checklists printed out, and every trunk had a checklist, and there were checklists, you know, on top of the truck. There were checklists under the truck. There were checklists on the seat. There were checklists, you know. And the only thing that was on there is, you know, don't forget your husband. That's the only thing that wasn't on there.
Now, Jennifer seems like a list-making kind of person.
Yeah,
me,
definitely.
I go, okay. Horse, saddle, bridle, girth, pad. All right, well, we can at least start with that. Like, if we got all that, we're good. And then I go, do I have my boots, breeches, hunt coat, helmet? Yep, we're good. We can go. Unfortunately, you need kind of some stuff in between all that, but as long as I've got the basics, I can load up and go. Let's just put them in the trailer. I can buy what I need, or I'll just borrow something. I'm a queen of borrowing at horse shows.
Well, let me go hop off here, let you two talk amongst themselves, do the commercial and everything, and I'm going to get the Stump the Host guests on. And if I can remember how to do this, Jennifer's job, she's got the hardest job. All we do is talk. She actually always has to do the buttons and dial people out and all that. But what we're going to do is this is Stump the Host segment where Jamie and Jennifer are allowed to ask questions. But they're only yes or no questions. They have no idea who this person is. They have no idea what part of the horse world this person takes part in. They just really know nothing. So they have to start asking yes or no questions, and you can play along at home. So if you get the answer before they do, give us a call at 347-637-3238, and maybe you'll beat them to the punch. But that's 347-637-3238. And I'll keep an eye on that in case somebody jumps in with guesses along the way. So let me bug out. You guys take over, and I will get the guest on if I can figure out how.
So just talk amongst yourselves. I mean, really?
Glenn's going to be back in a half an hour.
Yeah, does he even know how to work those buttons?
Well, I did give him brief instructions. So okay, we'll see how it goes. If the show suddenly disappears from the air, we'll know what happened.
Well, while we're waiting, let's see. I've got some news that we can certainly do. Hey, so, you know, Michael Matz, the show jumper, who's now the racehorse trainer?
Yes.
Yeah, he trained Barbaro, and he trained all of Roy and Gretchen Jackson's horses. I mean, Barbaro's brothers and sisters and, I mean, all, like, I think they have, like, 18 horses in training with him right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was just fired. They fired him.
Really?
Roy and Gretchen Jackson fired Barbaro's trainer, Michael Matz. Yes, and they won't even tell him why. I guess they had 11 horses in with him as of yesterday, and they pulled all of those horses and gave them to two other trainers, Barclay Tagg and Lee Delacour. And he says that he was blindsided by the decision, which just came a couple weeks after the Jacksons sent him 4 yearlings to train. And he said he was totally surprised. He has no idea what the reason was. He said, quote, obviously I did something wrong or they lost confidence in me. I really don't know. They called me in to tell me, and right after I ran 3 horses for them. One ran first, the other second, and the third one was off the board. When I sat down with them 2 weeks later, I was told it was a business decision. It was obviously something I did or said. Believe me, I just don't know. And then when they asked Roy Jackson, he said it was a business decision, and he wouldn't elaborate anymore.
Wow.
But that's kind of dramatic.
Well, you know, there is a silver lining to this cloud.
What's that?
Maybe that will give us a little ammo to lure Michael Matz back into the sport horse world.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know?
Come back, show jump more, coach.
Well, you know, even if he's not competing, hello, come back. We could really use an awesome, amazing competitor, coach, person like Michael Matz back here in the sport horse world. You're welcome with open arms, Michael, if you're listening.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, number one, he's not listening, and number two, he's not coming back. I think he makes some money over there, actually, without even sponsorships. It's just making money on the horses. But it's a lot of hard work, so you can come back. The other racing news that I have is the Breeders' Cup is going to be in California in 2012. That means it's going to be at Santa Anita. It's been in Lexington or Louisville for a couple years, and they kind of rotate it between Belmont, Churchill Downs, and Santa Anita. And so it's going to be in Santa Anita next year, which means we can all just drive across the border of California and head on up to Santa Anita and watch the Breeders' Cup. So I plan on you guys coming. Just so you know, it's going to be November 2nd and 3rd of next year.
Okay. We'll get our plane tickets now.
Couldn't just drive over to see it in Louisville.
Yeah,
I'm right an hour away.
Permanently.
Uh-huh. Oh, Glenn's back. Do you have our guest on?
Yes, I do. Did you guys do the ad yet?
No, we didn't do the ad. Sorry, we got to talking. Uh-huh. Did you know that's Michael Matz got fired by the Jacksons? Oh, my gosh.
I know. I saw that. Yeah, I did see that. All right, why don't you do the ad, and then we'll go into Stump the Host.
Okay, well, at horseshow.com, you can now compete online just like you were at a regular horse show. Get judged by the top judges and get the judges' comments. All you have to do is upload your video, enter a class online at horseshow.com, and then it's just a simple and economic way for you to compete with your horse from home. It's also a great way to prepare for your next show or track your progress during the off-season. It's just many reasons to do it. Plus, what they don't tell you in this commercial, I'm going off script right now, is that you win money. So you might as well go to a horse show where you could potentially win money, not like the ones we go to where we just spend. Horseshow.com features real horse shows for multiple breeds and disciplines, so it doesn't have to be just one thing, and it's judged by nationally accredited judges. So upload, enter, and win anytime at horseshow.com. Now, it is time for Stump the Host. Glenn, if you would please introduce our guest.
Okay, well, we have a guest on the line, and you guys get to ask him questions, and that's all the introduction you're going to get, because you're trying to trip me up now, because you really thought I would fall for that, didn't you?
Fine.
Good surprise, Jamie.
You know, I don't have Stump the Host music, so let's just use this. I need to get Stump the Host music next time. So now we're going to bring our guest on here, and the way we're going to do this is you can play at home, as I said, and if you think you have the answer of who this guest is before Jamie and Jennifer, you can give us a call at 347-637-3238 and make your guesses. But I have the mystery guest is ready to go. So let's start with Jamie, and we'll go back and forth. You can ask yes or no questions, and I got to tell you, Jamie, that this person has listened to the show. They know how you are. So I don't think you're going to trick them. So you can get started. Jamie first.
Hey, Katie, how's it going? Darn.
Yes, no.
Okay, you have to use your real voice, though, because it's not fair if you don't use your real voice. So I wanted to ask you, are you famous for being a rider?
Yes.
Jennifer?
Okay. Oh, it's my turn. Are you currently an active competitor in an Olympic discipline?
No.
Oh, my God.
Quit using that squeaky voice, girl. Let's go ahead and talk. Let's be real.
Don't listen to her. Don't listen to what she says. She will try and trick you. She is sneaky. Go ahead,
Glenn, Dan. You told her to use a fake voice. How am I supposed to get it? All we know right now is that she rides horses and that she's using a fake voice. I think it's a little broad at this point, don't you think? Okay, let me narrow it down. What sport do you compete in?
No, you have to make it a yes or no.
Yes or no, Jamie.
Jennifer.
Well, you know it's an Olympic sport. So that eliminates a lot
of
stuff.
Please don't correct me because I'm trying to trick her up. Maybe she would have said eventing. I don't know. You're ruining the game. We're cheating here. We're trying to cheat. Okay. Do you have one famous horse that you're known for riding?
Yes.
Ooh, a famous horse known for riding. Okay. Let's see here. Is the famous horse still competing?
No.
Okay.
Are you a former Olympian?
No.
Okay. Ooh. Now that just tripped me up. I was on a roll there. Are you a former Olympian, but yet you've competed in an Olympic sport, and you were famous for a horse, and the horse is no longer competing. Does your famous Olympic discipline horse have famous siblings or progeny?
No.
Ah. How about are you an inventor?
That's a yes or no.
Are you there?
What was the answer? Is she there?
Yes, no.
Ooh.
Ah. Wait, what do you mean, yes, no? I said, are you an inventor?
Which is more correct?
Yes.
Oh, she's going to be a yes.
Okay, she got a yes.
Well, that makes sense with the other one.
Okay, so an inventor. Jennifer, do you have a question?
Let's see here. During your famous Olympic discipline horse riding years, were you based on the East Coast or the West Coast or smack in the middle?
You have to ask a yes or no. That was kind of not a yes or no.
It's an A, B,
nice
or
try.
C. How about East Coast or what? Were you based on the East Coast? How's that? We'll start with there. It's just going to waste more questions.
Yes.
Oh, she's East Coast. Okay.
East Coast inventor with a famous horse, famous rider. Are you still currently competing yourself?
No.
Ooh. She keeps throwing these red herrings in there.
Boomer,
and do you have a dog?
Boomer has a guest.
Boomer's like, hello.
Let me think here.
Well, this wouldn't be Gina Miles, is it?
No.
No, it's not.
Okay, just checking.
That
would have
been too easy. That would have been too easy for you guys.
I think this is going to be an inventor. So have you ever won Rolex?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good question, Jennifer.
Had to go with that eventing thing. So she's won Rolex. The horse she rode was definitely not a stallion and probably not a mare because it doesn't have any famous siblings or progeny. Okay.
Look at Jennifer going through this. Okay, Jamie, you're up.
But retired rider. Are you an author now?
Ooh. No.
Not an author.
Okay.
She's not an author. Are you featured in training videos, DVDs, online, YouTube?
No.
Oh. Hmm.
Did you win Rolex when it was a 4-star?
No.
Okay, so it had to be the 3-star. Is this Tiffany?
Okay. Let's see here. Oh, I've got it. Have you ever been featured in a full-length feature film?
Yes.
Aha! You know who it is. Go ahead, Jen. Make a guess.
I know who it is.
Take a guess.
It's Kim Wallace.
You are correct.
Good thing you do disguise your voice.
Yes, I had to.
Now, let's explain for everybody that Kim Wallace did win Rolex on a very famous horse called the Grey Goose. And there's something else to this story. And, Jamie, I knew you probably would never get this, but she was Jennifer's coach for many, many years. Kim spent some time at her house. She used to do clinics at our farm. So Jennifer knows her very well.
Good Lord, how am I supposed to guess that?
That's why I had to disguise my voice.
Yes. And I don't know that you two have talked in a while, have you?
No, occasional emails here and there, and that's about it, yeah.
Yes, yes.
So what was the feature film? Tell us about that.
It was a movie called Sylvester, and it starred Melissa Gilbert.
Right?
Yeah.
On.
Go ahead.
I just say, of course, we all know that movie. It's one of the top 10 horse movies.
Well, any place you don't see Melissa's face once she gets to Rolex, then it's me. There were three horses used in the film, and Grey Goose was one of them.
Wait a second. Are you telling me that Melissa Gilbert did not actually win Rolex? Stop. She had somebody else riding the horse for her? Oh, my God. I'm devastated right now. Devastated.
Now, Kim just did a segment for the partnership series and the eventing radio show last week, and you can go there and hear all about the Grey Goose, was her famous horse, and, you know, her horse of a lifetime, and you can hear all about that on the eventing radio show. But, you know, she used to be Jennifer's coach. And, you know, Jennifer, tell us why, let's embarrass her a little bit here. Tell us why you thought she was such a terrific coach. And I know you thought that because you miss her at this point, having her here to coach, still coaching.
Kim is an amazing communicator, both with horses and people, in that she has a wonderful ability to communicate at many different levels, because both horses and humans and dogs and cats and fish, maybe not so much fish. We all learn differently. Some are visual learners and some are physical learners, in that they have to process it physically. Some people are mechanical learners. They have to understand the mechanics behind it and kind of do it that way. And she is very good at, A, figuring out which kind of a learner you are, or the horse, and, B, taking her wonderful wisdom and feeding it to you via the way you learn the best. And I credit Kim with teaching me more about actually riding and communicating with the horse than anybody else ever took lessons from. Every coach I ever had taught me some aspect. And she taught me a great deal about communicating with the horse and seeing his point of view and taking that into account. There.
And that's what your training's all about, isn't it, Kim?
Yes, it is. It's that relationship with the animal so that the horse has as much fun as you do.
And it's actually riding called the way
of, meant to be.
Well, I was just going to say it's actually
horse.
Called the way of the horse, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
You do a lot
and
of work.
Riding was never.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say riding was never really meant to be a struggle. You know, it can be fun for both participants. And that partnership is what Gray and I had, that when things go wrong, that the horse can take over and say, hang on, I'll get you out of this. And that's whether it's jumping or dressage when the footing is sloppy. You know, when you've really put the time and effort into building that partnership, then the horse can really cover for you when you need him to.
And I know from listening to your interview on the Eventing Radio Show that the Grey Goose did that a few times for you.
He certainly did. It saved my life about four times, yeah.
Now, what are you doing today? What are you up to today? I don't mean today, physically today, but, you know, what are you doing doing in life right now?
What am I doing in life right now? I'm teaching and coaching. I'm loving coaching. It's so much fun to take people to these competitions and help them be the best that they can be and have a good time while they're doing it. And I'm also looking for a new home right now.
You mean
to
actually
relocate?
Well, we recommend Lexington, Kentucky. Jamie doesn't recommend Phoenix so much.
No, I've been to Phoenix. I've taught clinics in Phoenix. It's a bit hot there.
Yeah, it really is. So back to the movie thing, because I'm fascinated by this, because I watched the movie.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a personal question about that?
Sure.
It's kind of personal. How much money does one make as a backup rider, as a stunt double for the ride, for the star?
Well, we didn't know anything about the movie industry, and they asked me what I needed to do it. And
that's wonderful.
I know. It was a big mistake on my part not to do a little research before I came back with that answer.
$1 million.
No, well, I could. That's what I should have said, because in reality, in looking back, like halfway through the production, I realized that Gray and I were the only horse and rider available at that time. because there was only one other gray horse and rider that could compete at the advanced level and go over that Rolex course, and that was Karen Stives and Ben Arthur, and they were at the Olympics when this was being filmed. So I was an alternate for the Olympics that year, and I was the one they didn't take along. I was the second alternate. So I was the only horse and rider that could have taken, and I could have made a lot of money. But we did ask for $10,000, which we thought was a lot, but it was nothing in the movie industry.
Yeah.
So
they're
that,
like, we got this.
My daughter made $2,000 just as a backup, as a background person. They hired her and her pony, and they rented all her gear. And
they paid $10,000 to rent the trailer for the stars to live in for the week.
Yeah, I know. It was, yeah. So, but we had a great time. It was a lot of fun.
Now, I'll tell you something for next time, because in contract negotiations, like with you when you're, negotiating with your attorney for a radio job, Glenn, my attorney, will be calling you later, is that they're going to go, how much do you want for this job? And you are to never, ever answer that question. My attorney laughed in the last meeting. He was like, you don't really expect us to answer that. What do you got? And then they tell you what you got, and you go, yeah, no, I want more. No matter what it is, you want more. So just so you know, for next time, you're a major
Jennifer,
Hollywood movie star.
Hold on one second.
There you
Jennifer,
go.
If you see a call coming in from Arizona today, just don't take that, okay?
That's the attorney, right?
Yep. Yeah, my attorney will be contacting you. No. So what is your coaching right now? But where do you live, and where do you want to move?
Oh, I live in Pennsylvania, in the Lancaster County part of Pennsylvania, which is where Jennifer and Glenn used to live. Also,
yep.
You were in Lancaster, yeah.
I grew
and
up
it's
in
a
New
wonderful
Holland.
Place.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I love my students and would like to stay in the area if I can. But if not, then I will go where I feel I'm my talents are most valued and needed.
Well, you know, Kim, I thank you so much for joining us today. This has been fun. Jennifer's actually posted a link to your page, your website on our Facebook page.
Oh.
And what's the name? What's the web address of your website?
It's www.kimwalness.com or thewayofthehorse.com. Either one will get you there.
All right, good. So I appreciate you doing this and having fun. And by the way, that was a little girl, squeaky sort of voice you had going on there.
I had to do something.
Yeah, Jennifer would have recognized it about 2 seconds.
I'll hook you up with a good realtor down here in Lexington, Kim.
Well, there you go. Okay.
Property prices are dropping.
I encourage everybody
everywhere.
To go to eventingradio.com, check out The Grey Goose, hear all about Jamie, if you have not listened to that, you need to, because The Grey Goose is where, at the beginning of The Grey Goose, is where Jet, your horse, is now. So it will give you hope that Jet could eventually not kill you and make you into make him into something. The Grey Goose did try and kill her a few times. The Grey Goose had he was an individual, had an attitude. So,
yeah.
He threw me every day, Ben.
Okay, there's hope for me then. I just downloaded it, actually. I downloaded it, so I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to listen to it while I'm riding Jet today and be
there
inspired.
There you go. Yes.
All right,
May
thank
bring
you, Kim.
You
appreciate you being on. Talk to you
soon.
Oh,
you're so welcome. It was fun. Good to
talk to you guys.
Bye-bye.
She does a lot of work with the students on the ground. I remember seeing one of her first clinics where they actually spent half a day. And it was the funniest thing for a horse husband to see, because they spent a half a day doing groundwork. And what she did is she'd actually put the bridles on the students, and she would have them drive each other around so that they could feel what the horse was feeling. And I don't think they actually put the bits in the mouth, did they, Jennifer?
Usually, no.
No, okay.
although they could have been, because Kim Walness has the cleanest bit collection on God's green earth. You could perform surgery on her stack of bits. They're so clean.
Yeah, and she has a bucket that she brings along to every clinic that's just full of bits. And Jennifer's right, they're sparkling clean. But
yeah.
It used to be so funny for me as a brand new horse husband to see them all driving each other around the indoor arena. It was kind of cute. So she's a great coach.
Yeah, you attach them to your belt loop, right? That's how I learned about connection as well. So I totally have had to do that too. And it's horribly embarrassing, really, actually, for both parties.
So what fun. Thank you to Kim for joining us today. Jennifer, it took you a little bit, but you got it.
I got it.
You got it.
Before she even came on, when you were telling me that it was somebody that I knew and would recognize their voice, I knew it was one of about three different people.
Well, tell me the other two so I don't get them on next time.
Oh, no, I'm not giving away my advantage.
Oh, I'm working on a good one for Jamie next time. I got a good one that I'm working on. Let me just say I'm sneaking around her back a little bit. So.
Oh, Lord.
We're going into her past.
Oh, God.
Don't worry, it's not an old boyfriend. I wouldn't do that to you.
Okay, zoo. All right, I don't care anymore then. Go right on ahead.
All right, let's go to Black Beauty, and then we have a lot of news today that we need to get to. Plus, you're going to hear the first 12 minutes of the first Stable Scoop show ever. So are you ready? Page open.
I'm ready. It's really short. It's like really short, the shortest chapter.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Chapter 42, The Election. As we came into the yard one afternoon, Polly came out. Jerry, I've had Mr. B here asking you about your vote, and he wants to hire your cab for the election. He will call for an answer. Well, Polly, you may say that my cab will otherwise be engaged. I should not like to have it pasted over with their great bills. And as to make Jack and Captain race about to the public houses to bring up half-drunken voters, why, I think it would be an insult to the horses. No, I shan't do it. I suppose you'll vote for the gentleman? He said he was of your politics. So he is in some things, but I shall not vote for him, Polly. You know what his trade is? Yes? Well, a man who gets rich by that trade may be all very well in some ways, but he is blind to as what working men want. I could not in my conscience send him up to make the laws. I dare say they'll be angry, but every man must do what he thinks is best for his country. On the morning before the election, Jerry was putting me into the shafts when Dolly came into the yard sobbing and crying with her little blue frock and white pinafore dress splattered with mud. Why, Dolly, what's the matter? Those naughty boys, she sobbed, have thrown dirt all over me and called me a little raga. They called her a little blue ragamuffin, Father, said Harry, who looked very angry. But I have given it to them, and they won't insult my sister again. I have given them a thrashing they will remember, a set of cowardly, rascally, orange blackguards. Strong words. Jerry kissed the child and said, run into your mother, my pet, and tell her I think you had better stay home today and help her. Then turning gravely to Harry, my boy, I hope you will always defend your sister and give anybody who insults her a good thrashing. That is as it should be. But mind, I won't have any election blackguarding on my premises. There are as many blue blackguards as there are orange and as many white as there are purple or any other color, and I won't have any of my family mixed up with it. Even women and children are ready to quarrel for the sake of a color, and not one in ten of them knows what it is about. Why, Father, I thought blue was for liberty. My boy, blue to liberty does not come from colors. They only show party, and all the liberty you can get out of them is liberty to get drunk at other people's expense, liberty to ride to the pole in a dirty old cab, liberty to abuse anybody that does not wear your color, and shout yourself hoarse at what you only half understand. That's your liberty. Oh, Father, you are laughing. No, Harry, I'm serious, and I'm ashamed to see how men go on that ought to know better. An election is a very serious thing, and least it ought to be. And every man ought to vote to his conscience and let his neighbor do the same. And tomorrow, chapter 43, A Friend in Need.
You're right, that was short.
Yeah, I love the strong language that he uses, the cowardly, rascally, orange blackguards. I beat them up, yeah.
Yeah, that is old school. It's definitely old
yeah.
school.
Rascally ragamuffins.
All right. Well, yesterday you requested a segment from the first show that we did here on Horse Radio Network, which, as we said, was 3 years and 1,500 episodes ago. And Helene and I started the Horse Radio Network with the Stable Scoop radio show. We did. We just wanted to get together and basically talk to each other each week. And we thought, well, we have fun talking to each other. Maybe we can get a couple people to listen, and we'll just do it anyway. We didn't care if we had listeners or not. The Horse Radio Network exists then, but there's only one show. It's just Stable Scoop. I thought there might be two eventually because I wanted to do a World Equestrian Games radio show, and we started that shortly after. And, you know, that was the goal, to do Stable Scoop and to do World Equestrian Games radio show because we lived in Lexington. So this is the first 12 minutes of the first Stable Scoop show. It was titled Poop Eating Worms and Other Olympic News, and you're actually going to hear about the poop eating worms and the other Olympic news, and it's going to
be right up.
So you're going to hear about that. So this is news from 2008. This was August of 2008, so that's where the news came from. We don't do news on Stable Scoop anymore. We tried that for the first couple of weeks, and what happened was Helene and I both have severe ADD, and it didn't work. So we just went on to interviewing guests and having more fun. And now Jamie, we can do news on this show because Jamie is actually semi-focused, and she compensates for me and actually drags my butt through it. So with Helene and I, we didn't have that luxury because we both have severe ADD. So that's why we ended up with the format
play
we
the
have
clip.
Now.
Play well, the clip, ADD guy, come on.
I'm going to play it right after this word from a newest sponsor here on the Horse Radio Network. That's NupaFeed, and then you'll hear the clip.
NupaFeed Superior Supplements, taking performance to the next level. Does your horse lack focus and willingness to work? Is he or she spooky or nervous when you show or travel poorly? NupaFeed Magnesium Supplement for Horses is your solution for superior calming and focus. NupaFeed products are of the highest grade produced by a human pharmaceutical company, Berle Farm in Germany. NupaFeed supplements are now available for dogs at NupaFeeddog.com. Find us online at NupaFeedUSA.com or by phone at 941-921-1764.
This is the Horse Radio Network. Episode 2 of the Stable Scoop Radio Show, Poop Eating Worms and Other Olympic News.
Welcome to the Stable Scoop, with weekly show delivered right to you. Helena and Glenn the Geek, live from the stable, it's every week. Bring you the news through hail or high water, while using their tails as their own fly swatters. Sit on down and laugh till your poop comes. It's time again for Stable Scoop. Stable Scoop. Stable Scoop.
I am Glenn the Geek.
And I am Helena B. And this is the Stable Scoop Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network.
Hey, Helena, how about that new theme song? Isn't that pretty spiffy?
I love it. I love it.
We have a lot to cover today. What are we talking about?
Oh, boy. We've got, we're going to start off with news, and there's a lot of it this week, especially with the Olympics. We have a wonderful discussion, an Olympics discussion, with Jackie Baker of RegardingHorses.com. That's a fabulous blog. And, of course, with the showdown in the jumping finals at the Olympics against Canada, we razz our friends to the north a little bit. We spoke with a very nice lady named Sylvia Schneider, who also has an equine podcast that is called, oh, my God, I'm going to butcher this, Equinely Inclined.
That's it, equinelyinclined.com.
Yes. And some noteworthy events and a whole lot more.
Good. Sounds like we have a full show today. Let's
yep.
start off like we're going to start off every show with the news. And I have, you know me, I don't go for the traditional stories. I'm a horse husband. I find the weird stuff fascinating. So we're going to open the first news episode of the Stable Scoop radio show with manure, specifically manure at the Olympics. Actually, Jackie did a story on regarding horses about how they're handling the manure for the Olympics in Hong Kong. And I just found it kind of fascinating. They have 200 horses, and they spent almost $5 million building a composting plant to deal with the manure for this Olympics and for the Paralympics that's coming up next month.
Oh, my goodness.
They spent $5 million. The Chinese were real serious about making sure everything worked here, but they spent $5 million on a composting plant. Now, you have to understand, 200 horses isn't that many. At the Kentucky Horse Park, they'll have 1,000 over the weekend, on every weekend.
Yeah, but there's going to be a lot of poop.
Yeah, it's still a lot of poop. They said it's 20 to 30 tons a day.
20 to 30 tons a day. But this, I'm guessing that the $5 million were spent more on the technology versus the size.
Well, you know what the technology is? And I had to laugh at this, too, because they're using earthworms from mainland China that basically turn the feces into fertilizer.
Mm.
And so that's what they're doing. And then I got to laughing and thinking, didn't they have any earthworms in Hong Kong? Are they special earthworms? You know, there was just a lot of questions it brought up, all about manure. There's the first story. And I had to laugh, too. I have to read this part of it. It says, in an effort to stage a green Olympics, the process is aimed at eliminating pathogens and containing potentially odorous emissions.
Oh, gosh. All right.
So there you go.
I like the earthworms part. I like that, you know, that whole green process, the breaking down of horse poop, but potentially odorous, just to say stinky.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And do the earthworms just eat the stink? And
what?
If that's, well, you know, I just got thinking about that. I was thinking, well, you know, Lysol is probably going to be selling earthworms in a can soon, if that's the case.
Somebody's going to come back and hear just that section of this podcast.
I know.
Do earthworms eat the stink?
I just found the whole story funny. So.
But I know what you mean. No, I think the earthworms contribute to the breakdown. The earthworms actually aid in the composting of the material.
Yeah, but eating the stink is funnier.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you're going to transition from that story into safety syrups.
Okay, well, the Olympics.
I don't know how you're going to do that.
It just runs the gamut. This is what you're going to find in the Far East. Well, actually, anywhere. The news topic that I've got for today is safety stirrups for Olympians. And I am so excited to read this because when I first started riding, a grown-up using safety stirrups was a no-no, or you were kind of looked upon as a sissy. And I'm really glad to see that safety has gone up from the lowest of the low, from the little kids and ponies and beginner adults all the way up to Olympians. In fact, Rodrigo Pessoa and Ludger Bierbaum are among two Olympians who use this new high-tech stirrup. These things are freakishly high-tech, and I wouldn't even know how to pronounce the name, X-Up stirrups. Anyway, they feature an automatic release, which you can get with any kind of stirrup, a peacock stirrup, they have those new fancy squiggly stirrups and all that stuff. But it's kind of cool that everybody's thinking about safety, not just for the kids and the beginner adults.
And we'll put a link, actually, so they can see, or we'll put a picture on the show notes.
Yep.
So they can act. Now, I can't imagine these things are cheap.
No. I mean, come on, anything that's high tech. And as soon as you put the word equestrian in front of it, they're going to jack the price.
I mean, they're really, I had read, around 265 euros, which is almost $400.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Herm Springer puts out their bow balance stirrups, which are also a safety stirrup because of the design of the actual iron, the metal. And those are 200 and change.
So you know that that kind of pricing on a thing like stirrups sends all of us horse husbands just into cold sweats? You do realize that, don't you?
Yes, I do.
That's
why I don't tell my husband anything about it.
That's right.
But you don't have to spend $200 or $400 to have a safe stirrup.
Right.
And
I think it is kind of neat that safety has become, you know, you see the Olympics now and they're wearing their helmets and the straps are actually strapped.
Yes.
You know, it is different. Things are changing a little bit and safety is becoming more of a concern.
Yeah.
As we go along.
Well, particularly with stirrups, because there are a fair amount of, unfortunately, there's a fair amount of falls and crashes, and while a lot of people will get away without head injuries, it's not uncommon to get a foot hung up in a stirrup.
Right.
That's very easy to have happen. So, and particularly at the levels at which these riders are riding, it would be brainless to not have a safety stirrup.
And, you know, it's even easier to happen when your horse is too fat. And I saw this the other day. I saw this article, and it's the World Horse Welfare Charity out of England. They did a study, and they went around, and they actually weighed 230 horses in the U.K., and they found that 81% of them were overweight.
Wow.
Basically, we're feeding our horses too much. And, you know, you've had the same situation where you've gone to farms and you're going, they're feeding this horse way too much. This horse is just too fat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it happens more. I think you find that we always talk about the cases where they repossess horses because people aren't feeding them at all.
Right.
When actually the majority is they're feeding them too much. And, you know,
I would like to know which 230 horses they sampled.
Well, that I don't know. I don't know.
This comes from being married to a research analyst. I always want to know who was the control group, which 230 horses, was it a double-blind study?
I don't have all of that information, but obviously this was talking about, you know, and you know, but that is why some of the feed companies have come out with the diet foods and things like that, because there are a lot of horses out there, and of course, it's bad for them to be too fat as well as it's bad for them to be too skinny.
That's true.
Because of laminitis and everything else.
It might not have to do all that much with how much they're eating, but more with how little exercise they're getting.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I just thought that was an interesting study. And speaking of eating, that brings me to one of my other stories for the day. I had found this interesting facts on the Budweiser Clydesdales.
Oh.
And it was recently put out, and I'm doing a blog post about it, so you'll see it on my blog on stablescoop.com. They have six hitches that travel around the country now, and they actually were started, I didn't realize, in 1933.
A hitch is what? Like a unit of horse and...
Six horses in each hitch.
Okay.
So each hitch has six horses, and there's five traveling hitches that go around with the big wagon and the dog and everything. And they actually have to be a gelding, at least 4 years of age, and they must be 18 hands. That's part of the qualification. They also must have four white stockings, a white blaze on the face, and a black mane and tail. Those are the only ones that qualify for the hitches. And they breed all their own, so there's a lot of them that don't quite make it, and they all weigh about a ton.
Mm.
They eat, this gets into the eating part, they each consume 25 quarts of whole grains a day.
Wow.
50 to 60 pounds of hay, so that's a bale of hay a day, and 30 gallons of water.
Yeah.
So 20 to 25 quarts of grain a day.
So what do they do with the Clydesdales who don't come out looking like the standards?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know if they sell them off. Maybe one of our listeners could write us at geeks@thehorseradionetwork.com and let us know what they do. I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
I don't know. They actually have three tractor trailers, and anybody that's seen the Clydesdales has seen the tractor trailers. But with each hitch that's going around the country, they have three 50-foot tractor trailers, some for the horses and some for the equipment. And they're all equipped with cameras in the back to monitor so that the drivers can see the horses. And the other interesting thing is that, and I found this fascinating, having driven horses before, and for all of you out there that have, the reins weigh 40 pounds.
Oh, goodness.
And with the tension on the reins, it's equal to 75 pounds.
Oh, goodness.
So it's like you're holding 75 pounds in your hand driving these horses.
I know horses can go up to 2,300 pounds apiece. So,
right.
You know, that's a lot of weight.
That's a lot of horse. It was funny because I help out at the horse park over here in the draft barn. So I help harness up the horses, and each harness can weigh as much as 130 pounds.
Mm.
So that's just the harness on the horse. I mean, it's just incredible when you put that much horse together, six of them. It's amazing what you have to deal with.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. The first couple minutes of the first show here on the Horse Radio Network 3 years ago in 2008. And it was relevant because we were talking about the commercial that Jamie was talking about earlier. You know, we're talking about the Budweiser Clydesdale.
And it was perfect because of that, actually.
Just tied right in. And now you know that worms eat stink.
Yeah, I didn't really listen to that part. I actually got breakfast during that part. And then would you just spoil my breakfast had I listened? I did count the times, though, Glenn, that you said you were a horse husband, and I think it was in the range of about 42. Like, you were distancing. Like, I'm not a horse person, just a horse husband.
I had to set that up straight away, first show. Don't blame me if I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just a horse husband.
Well, I thought you guys did very good. I can't even pick on you.
I know. You know what? I thought I sort of remember being nervous, but it didn't sound like we were nervous at all, actually. So,
fine.
I think
nothing
part of
I
that
can...
is Helene and I had known each other for years, and I think that was part of it. You know, we were just talking to friends. The same thing we tell everybody that's nervous when they come on our shows. You're just sitting here talking to friends. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you guys did good. Well, hey, we need to talk about the ad that said that, too, or the Patricia from EcoGold wrote that article about us, which
right.
I've now sent to everybody in my family. I'm like, see? And again, she mentions that in there, too. She was like, I was nervous at first, but it felt like I was sitting down with friends. And that's it. Now, that's a very nice compliment to have somebody say that. And so you're right. That's kind of what we designed it for, and that's what we want it for. And I can't pick on your stable scoop, Glenn, except for it did say episode 2. Why did it say episode 2?
Episode 1 was just a little introductory, like 10-minute show where we were saying what was coming up. It was one of those, we have to do that at the beginning of every show we start because you need a show a couple of weeks before you start in order for iTunes to start picking it up. So we do what we call just an introductory episode. It's just what's coming up. This episode 2 was the first real episode where we had guests and stuff. So that's why it said episode 2. Well, I have an announcement to make. We have a winner in the Mongol Derby, the Mongolian horse race. That was the longest horse race, 1,000 kilometer race, which was contested by a field of 23 riders this year. And it just finished, and the winner was a South African dairy farmer. And his name was Craig Egberink, and he won the race. There were only 15 of the competitors out of 23 that finished, and it was a 10-day race. He actually led most of the race, and then he led most of the race, but when they finished, he finished only 2 minutes ahead of the second place person. Now, think about that. It's 1,000 miles. The race involved up to 1,000 Mongolian horses because they had to change horses every 20 miles or so. So think about that. Is he ended up winning the race at the end of 10 days by only 2 minutes. That's incredible.
You know what's incredible is that I'm looking at the picture of this Mongolian horse and this guy. And this horse is like 13 hands tall, and this guy looks like he's about 6 feet tall. Oh, my gosh, these poor – they're ponies.
Yeah, they're not big. They're 14 – maybe just about pony horse size. But you're right. They're not very big and kind of scraggly looking.
Poor little things having to carry these heavy, heavy – dairy farmers from South Africa all around 14, 15 miles at a time. My goodness, I feel terrible for them.
Oh, no, you need to feel terrible because the story I didn't put in this morning was there was this story. I thought, wow, this is a great story. It was out of Vietnam. It was this race where they carry people and horses and they got packs and it's called a pack race. And it was all kind of very interesting. It's a big festival there in Vietnam. And I'm going, well, this is a nice story. You know, I'll put this one in the news today. And then I read the last line, and it says, this festival is also an excuse to drink lots of rice wine, which I kind of assumed that, to drink lots of rice wine and eat their favorite delicacy, horse meat.
Oh, see, there's a reason you didn't post that. Why do you have to tell it to?
Because it makes this story, you're not going to pity these horses so much because at least they aren't eating them when they're done.
We don't know that. It doesn't say that anywhere.
I'm hoping not. I'm trying to be think positive of the Mongolian horse race here. Hey.
What? Your
I
turn.
Was just
going to
say.
Go ahead. Keep going.
You've
just
had,
do them all.
You've had in the show notes a picture of this bizarre chair for 2 days. Tell me about the bizarre chair.
My unique chair, inspired by the English saddle, which is the coolest piece of furniture ever. Okay, you know what a recliner looks like. Like the back, and then the little feet part comes out, and then you got the armrest, just like any lazy boy. And then imagine an English saddle, and tip that English saddle on the front, on its pommel, and imagine that being a chair. They've made the chair stirrups and all, although the stirrups are coming out, obviously, of the wrong place. But these stirrups and all, it is the coolest piece of furniture. I want it so bad. It was done by the furniture specialist. The company is called Halo, and they have a unique chair inspired by the English saddle, complete with stirrups. The saddle is recognizable and a functional piece of sporting equipment. This is the designer, Ryan McNeish, talking. And he said, I wanted to see it in an entirely different form. The metal stirrups that hang from each arm create a contrast between the cool shine of steel and the warmth of the soft leather. I wanted to make an extraordinary statement chair that fuses comfort, individuality, and style. It comes in 6 finish. It replicates the saddle shape, but also has the same design technique, such as the piping along the saddle flaps and the leather panels. The price for this chair is only £1,449, which is probably about $3,000. So, haloliving.co.uk. We'll post a picture up online. This is the coolest piece of furniture ever. I love it.
I kind of found it disturbing with the stirrups hanging out the sides.
I was thinking you think it'd be a drink holder or something. You could look a magazine
in there. Well, I actually did think about that, too. That didn't occur to me.
You could put some of those stirrups that endurance riders use, which are like take up the whole foot pad and it'll stick out far enough where you can prop a drink on there. It'd be perfect.
Well, imagine going outside in the morning, Jamie. You got your coffee. You're in your little, Superman jams there. And you're walking outside and it's hot and you're kind of sleepy-eyed and it's first thing in the morning. And you see David Ramirez Lopez, who's a 44-year-old fugitive of justice who was jailed Wednesday after he was allegedly found naked inside a corral full of horses.
What?
According to the Madera County Sheriff's Office, deputies arrested Lopez after finding him drunk and completely naked inside his neighbor's corral. Investigators did not say what Lopez was up to inside the corral, but his antics were carried out in full view of passing traffic and children who were playing nearby. They also learned that Lopez had 2 outstanding warrants for his arrest. One warrant was for 2 counts of battery and the second for being drunk and disorderly. And now he has 2 more counts. So there you go. And if you see the picture of Mr. Lopez, you would understand probably why he was drunk and naked. He's a scary-looking dude. Wouldn't want him as my neighbor. So there, think about that tomorrow morning when you walk outside to the barn with your cup of coffee, so all sleepy-eyed and in your jams.
Okay, hold up. So you walk outside and there's some naked dude, like, chasing around your horses?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
This is disgusting. And he is a creepy, creepy looking dude. Like I told my neighbor, I said, here's what you do if you see somebody on my property that you know is not supposed to be there. I mean, I have students and I have that. But I said, if there's some scary looking person, like big scary looking guy, and he's out here by himself, shoot first and ask questions later. And this would have been one of those things where I would have shot the guy and then asked him what he was doing naked in my corral. I mean, I would have aimed to kill. No, I'm just not going to plug in the leg if you're
now,
naked in
my corral.
Now,
would you have aimed to kill or would you have aimed low?
I think that those are one and the same, Glenn. Because if I shoot your wiener off, you're going to probably want to die. I would like to say I have that good of aim, but I don't.
Hey, and the other thing that started this week, yesterday actually, was every year the reenactors of the Pony Express started their ride, their ride across the western part of the United States, and they are going, it's a 10-day ride, and there are 600 riders, and they dress up like the old Pony Express riders, and they actually carry letters that people can get them to carry. You can submit your letter, and they will carry it for a price of $5. They'll carry your letter across this ride that goes from, trying to remember here where it went from, it goes across the North Norfolk River, and it's like from New Mexico to California, something like that. And there are, as I said, are 600 riders that participate, and they each go from 2 to 10 miles. Now, the Pony Express riders back in those days actually went 75 miles each. They would ride for 75 miles before they switched the letters to a new rider. So they're doing a little less nowadays. But they do it 24 hours a day, and they ride that long route.
Okay. I would like you to know that I am not the only person that likes this chair. Adrian said she loves it. It's neat. Kim, I like this. Another Kim, that is so cool. Everybody likes the chair. So you were wrong.
Stirrup disgusting or perverted.
I don't know why you... I don't even get that. Like, I don't... Maybe my mind isn't as filthy as yours. I don't know why you would see that.
Could be I'm a guy and...
I cried
watching a Budweiser commercial.
Yeah, I know. I'm a girl. And so far, nobody else has commented that it too made them cry. So far, just me. But I'll find people. Maybe they're all just watching it now, wiping away the tears, and they can't post on Facebook that it made them cry because they're still crying. You know what I mean?
Well, and one other story here, too, is that some of the Mustangs that we're rounding up are being put to a good use. The U.S. Border Patrol is getting some new rugged horsepower in the form of a half dozen wild horses that were trained by prisoners in Nevada. So remember we talked about that. So they are getting...
Is this the one that... The auction is this weekend.
Yeah, and I think they're getting six of these horses that, and apparently they've already, the Border Patrol now already uses 120 wild Mustangs to patrol the border. So they're, you know, and that's kind of the terrain that these wild Mustangs are used to. You know what I mean? So
they're
being put to good use, and hooray for them.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's good news that they have a job. Just so everybody knows, that prison auction in Reno, when we talked to the lady that runs it, is this weekend. So, you know, if Chad, one of Chad's horses that he wanted does not get auctioned, we may have to drive to Carson City or Reno and go get it.
That was a nice horse. I kind of think that one's going to get auctioned.
With the one with the buckskin with the silver mane or the paint horse?
No, the buckskin with the silver mane. That was a beautiful horse.
So pretty. I know. They're both gone. But next auction, maybe the next one. So just to give you a housing update, the appraisal went through and it was approved. And everything is moving forward with the potential new flyover farm.
Oh, yay. Terrific.
Yay. It was late last night that it came in. And the paperwork now to buy a house. It is not easy anymore. Remember how it used to be like, oh, you just had somebody handle everything? No. They want blood. They want children. They want, I mean, it's amazing how much we've had to do just to get the mortgage for a house. And my husband's credit is awesome, thanks to him. My credit sucks. I'm not even on the loan. They were like, this would be easier without you. Okay.
Go away.
Yeah. Shocking, isn't it? So,
Was right after they said, you married her? Did you check her credit first?
Yeah, he had no idea what he was in for.
Well, you know, that is a long way from when Jennifer and I bought our first farm, which was a big farm, and we walked into the bank, and they said, okay, you have jobs? And they said, well, I said, yeah. And they said, well, give us a copy of your W-2s for last year. We did. They never, and that's all we gave them. We signed a little tiny application. And 2 days later, they called and said, you're approved. And that was it. That's what it was like before.
And see, a similar situation to that is the reason my credit got in so much trouble in the first place. They're like, you got a job? Here you go. Here's $20,000. Have fun. Need more? Just tell us and we'll get you more. Like, that is the reason that this country is in such trouble right now and the financial end of it. Because people were just giving away money that wasn't theirs. So, it's not like that anymore, which is good and bad, but it has definitely postponed the house buying. But hopefully, if all goes well, we could close in the next couple weeks.
Oh, wow, awesome. Terrific.
I know. And then we get to move in August. in Phoenix. Woohoo!
So you'll move that quickly? You'll be out of there right away?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, if you've got a house, why pay rent another month? So okay. We're going to try to, like, do it as fast as possible. However, it is just really difficult because, you know, a house and a farm. So we'll see what happens.
We moved that house and farm before. They were talking on the Western radio show this week about how every trailer in America has had to have been used for moving somebody's house at one time or another. I assume that will also be the case at your place.
How do you think I got to Phoenix? I shipped my horse and I carried all my stuff in my trailer and drove my truck and trailer here. I'm like, y'all take my horse. He'd be a lot better off with you. I'll go ahead and just put my couches in the back. Yeah, it was like
that is true. How many of us have used our truck and trailer for moving stuff? You know, all of us at one point or another. I think us many, many times.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
This has been fun. I'm so glad I got to stump you and especially Jennifer because Kim holds a special place in our heart. And we've been out of touch with her, so hopefully now those two can be in better touch with each other. And hopefully Kim will get down here to Lexington to do a clinic, and Jennifer can hop on over there. And what else? That's about it. We'll be back again tomorrow. Don't forget the Really Bad Ads. Get your Really Bad Ads into Jennifer at Really Bad Ads, Jennifer at reallybadads.com, Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. So get your Really Bad Ads in, and we appreciate you doing that. And we have the prize pack, which is from Redmond Rocks. So they'll be sending you out all kinds of goodies. Also, I wanted to mention that the Driving Radio Show is out for this week. So if you get a chance, go to drivingradioshow.com, and you'll find all the shows at horseradionetwork.com. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning, Jamie.
All right, everybody. Thank you very much. Spay, neuter, and geld.
We'll see you at Peelers.